Hey, gang, it's Johnny. I have some really sad news. Singer-songwriter, playwright, screenwriter, Joe Carroll Pierce passed away last week. Sad, sad news. My heart goes out to her husband, Guy Juke, the great artist, poster artist, and her family, her kids, Elise, who's a good friend of mine, known her for a long time. It's sad news, man. Joe Carroll Pierce, if you don't know who she was really like a true artist, a real artist, like a real artist who spoke her truth and did it without a filter, musically and in every way. Like she was very, very, very open. I got to hang out with her quite a few times and always had a great time. Played a show with her once in the late 90s. It was when I met her. With Troy Campbell and Scrappy Judd Newcomb and me. Oh, and her husband, Guy Juke, played guitar with her. And we played a songwriter in the round at the Mucky Duck in Houston. And she and I became fast friends and started emailing each other. And she was always very funny. And then she started coming to my shows when I was playing at Momo's in the 2000s. And I would go to hers and we would, you know, we'd have these great conversations. And she was just always very, very funny and, you know, an odd person, like an artist, like an eccentric human being, but she always did have like this truth that she was always telling. Now her career was kind of strange because musically she never really had put out any albums. She didn't put out any albums until 1995. She put out her first record, Bad Girls Upset by the Truth. Although earlier in the 90s, my friend Troy Campbell had gotten a bunch of people together and they made a compilation album that was incredibly popular at the time. I remember like 92, 93, 94, something like that is when it came out. Across the Great Divide, Songs of Joe Carroll Pierce. It's got 19 songs with a great artist doing versions of her songs. But she didn't really put out her first record until Bad Girls Upset by the Truth in 1995 and then Dog of Love. Anyway, I remember when I did that songwriter in the round with her, she played, I think the first song she played was Has God Got Us by the Twat or What? Now, you hear someone sing a song like that, it's kind of shocking if you're not ready for it. And her delivery, like I said, is like a character, like what we appreciate about Lou Reed, what we appreciate about Bob Dylan, all the great singers that have a character in their voice. They might not be the Pavarottis of their time, but they are people that, Lucinda Williams, like, these are these voices that have these characters and they tell these stories and they tell you these truths that really resonate with you. Anyway, I remember when I first heard that, I fell in love with her music and just, you kind of get the idea of what kind of person she is through a song like that. I might be talking too long, but I really cared for her. I had tremendous affection for her. She was a lovely person. I always enjoyed my time with her. I was always flattered when she came to my shows, and I'm really glad that I got to know her, and I'm going to share that song with you, Has God Got Us by the Twat or What, and I want you to enjoy it, and rest in peace, Joe Carroll Pierce, we love you, my heart goes out to her family.
Griddle. Like parthenogenesis, I split it down the middle. I broke my yolk, I shattered my shell. I bet they got a call into the mental hospital. Mother Mary, won't you meet me at the laundromat so we can clean up these questions I have to ask. Is my heavenly father a crackpot or not? Does God have us by the twat or what? Shadows in my bed, flipping that selector through the channels in my head. I'm off on a safari, I have blown a fuse. I got electronic animals loose in my room. Mother Mary, won't you meet me down at the zoo? We got some phylogenetic talking to do. Won't you tell me what the deal is and what it's not? Does God have us by the twat or what? River, I got to ask her, these burdens to give her. Is her sugar daddy a robber or a cop? Does God have us by the twat or what? Talk to me, tell me something. Say something positive, please. I think he does.
Hey gang, do you find yourself listening to your music on one app and then listening to your podcast on another app? If you do, stop this insane behavior right now and download Spotify. Spotify is home to all of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts. Podcasts including Fly on the Wall, the Saturday Night Live podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, the Rock on Tours podcast with Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt, old favorites like Fresh Air, My Favorite Murder, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Look, if you're looking for a news podcast or sports or entertainment or true crime, look, if you're looking for a sewing podcast or an RV podcast, Spotify has all of this for you. That's Spotify. All of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts in one place. Find it in your app store and start listening today. That's Spotify, music and podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, Tommy Naughty.
When we talked.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. Had a good weekend, man. Check this out, Skyrocket. We played a show, a rich person's backyard Christmas party show on Saturday night. And not only like it was one of those like over the top parties that you're like there's no way, like it's like 3 years of like how much money normal people make to have this party. I'm not joking. There were bars all over set up around the backyard. The dude owns his house and bought the house next door so that they'd have a house they can just party around in. They have a pool, you know. Infinity pool. That's what I meant. a pool, an infinity pool. They have a waterfall. Anyway, we played in the backyard of their main house, facing their house by the waterfall, in front of the waterfall. That's where we played. And this year, we played it last year too, but this year they brought in a new level. They brought in lasers this year, gang. I haven't even seen a show with lasers, since I was a teenager or something. Do you guys ever go to those laser light shows, like at a planetarium? They had one at the Miami Planetarium when I was a teenager. And I know I went to two of them. I know I went to a Pink Floyd one, but I can't remember if the other one was Led Zeppelin or Boston. I can't even remember. Psychedelics were involved, I'm not going to lie. But Saturday night, having those lasers programmed to our whole show was so badass, man. You forget how cool fucking lasers are. The only thing is it was outside and you have to have the smoke to see the laser. So every once in a while, wind would blow and then the whole super effect would go away and there'd just be like lights on the wall. But fucking lasers, man, that was so exciting to play a show with lasers. Hey, gang, if you live in Austin and you'd like to come see Skyrocket, we are playing Friday, December 16th at Antone's, the legendary nightclub, Antone's. Come on out and check us out. You can go to skyrockettheband.com to get your tickets. And if you don't know what we're all about, there's videos and stuff on there so you can check it out and see what we're all about. Anyway, looks like we got a party for this weekend. Maybe. We got offered a gig last minute. So hopefully we got that, dude. It's been a slim pickings year, man. I will say it's been a long, I can't believe it's almost the end of the year. I can't believe it's almost Christmas. I have nothing together. I got to make some presents this year. I told myself that's what I was going to do. I got to come up with an idea. And then I got to execute it because I really don't have a lot of time to do this. It's a little upsetting. But I will do it. That's what I'll do. Anyway, I can't believe how fast this year has gone by. You know, Rosie's almost 2 years old. I've had Rosie for over a year now. Like all my memories now that are popping up because I take so many fucking pictures of her are just photos of Rosie all the time. I love her so much. We've been having a great time. She was really nice. I was exhausted on Sunday after, you know, just kind of like a long week of stuff and that show that night. And we just laid around all day yesterday. Went and played, But we just mostly laid around all day. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Singer-songwriter Rule Thomas is on the show today. He lives here in Austin. You guys might know him. You can find him at rulemusic.com. He has a brand new album out. His debut album is available now on Descent Records. It's called Tonight and Myself. It was produced by my dear friend Frenchie Smith. You know Frenchie, I talk about him all the time. Anyway, it's a fantastic record, man. Rule Thomas, man. He's a one-man band. We have a great conversation about that. We have a great conversation about all kinds of stuff. He lives here. He's from Austin, but he lived in Australia for a while. We have a great conversation about that stuff, about writing songs, about working with Frenchie, about the fun times that you have with Frenchie, about using the Mellotron, especially on his song Come My Way. He also does a lot of private events. He does a lot of, like, you know, private things that people play, like Skyrocket does and stuff. But I have six other people. There's seven of us that we can sort of share in those weird times with, you know, when there's lasers, you know, the other night at seven people, I could share the laser experience with all of my friends, my best friends. But he has to do it alone. So we talk about that. He's a great guy, great songwriter, and congratulations on having your first record put out by Descent Records. All right, so without further ado, gang, enjoy my conversation with this great musician, Rule Thomas. Let's get down. What are you recording in your house? Is that what you do?
Like demos. I mean, my setup's not nearly as good as this. Just like you have a lot of different, like, I have one mixer that's falling apart.
Yeah, that's falling apart.
And, I let Marlon borrow it one time there because.
Are you his age?
I am a few years older than him.
Okay, I've known him his whole life. I'm friends with his dad.
That's awesome.
Friends with his mom.
So I'm friends. So Karen and Joe are my landlords.
Oh, look at that.
And that's.
Tell her I said hi. I haven't seen her in years.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
I will. So I don't really know. Charlie, he knows me as the guy that, like, lives. I live, like, right next to Marlon. So we're in the same little situation of.
Tell him I said hi.
Yeah, but I don't know him.
No, Marlon.
Well, also Marlon. Yeah. I wish I knew Charlie better.
I don't know Charlie.
He's a.
Nothing.
He's a cool guy. I see him every now and then, and it's, I mean.
It's cool. He still owes me like $17 for like 3 months ago. No, I'm just joking.
But my mixer fell apart. It's like literally has the back falling off of it. And like whenever I show up to my shows, I'm like rewiring it and stuff to like get it to literally like turn on.
Yeah. Are you from here? Is that your thing?
I'm from here. Yeah.
So you're born and raised? Where did you?
Born in Round Rock, I guess. Okay. And then we like lived in Round Rock, and then my parents got divorced when I was like five. And then so I grew up half the time in Lakeway, like right by the lake in Lake Travis, and then half the time like close to like Rolling Wood, downtown, that sort of area.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Went to Westlake High School.
How was that?
It was interesting.
I mean, is that a snooty kind of school?
It definitely has the reputation for that.
Yeah.
I was quiet in high school. So it didn't really.
It's funny, dude, your voice and your songs totally gave that away.
Yeah, I was quiet.
I was scared you were going to be too. I was like, God damn, this guy's voice when he speaks is loud enough.
Quiet guy. Like, I'll talk all day, but if I don't have to say anything. Like in school and like that sort of setting, like,
yeah,
no, I was really quiet and probably like, I probably seemed intimidating like in high school, like people, cause I just, you know, maybe like straight face, no beard or anything, but like just kind of just going through the hall, just, you know, seeing people as new, saying, hey. But I remember someone in college, they were like, we thought you were like an asshole. until we like met you and we're like, wow, he's actually nice. Cause I just was like the guy just on a mission, just going to what I had to go to, doing what I had to do. Not really, just kind of going from point A to point B, not really stopping around. That sort of changed since I've kind of come into my own as like an adult, I think. But back then, yeah, it's a little.
In what way? How has it changed?
I mean, honestly, like doing the music thing and like, you know, just getting in front of people and like, I wasn't very expressive probably like most of my life. And that's probably changed like once I graduated college and like came back home and started playing a lot of gigs and just kind of like come into my own in that sort of way. I started to get more like comfortable in front of people. You know, when you like write a song or like come up with something that you're going to go play for somebody, like you're kind of thinking it through enough that I just kind of just felt like I found like a path that like worked for me that, yeah. I didn't feel weird in front of people or, I felt okay, like, you know, giving up a little bit,
yeah.
You know, more than I was in the past, like, you know, what I would say or just like the emotions that I would show and stuff like that. So that kind of like, I learned that like by playing for people, playing music.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, you know, you're going through, like, I'm assuming that these songs are autobiographical. It'd be weird if they're all about other people.
Yeah, they're but, pretty autobiographical. Because
it's pretty personal music.
Yeah,
right, it is. Down to the way that your execution, your voice is very personal. Like, the whole thing is very personal.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I would say that I'm a personal guy, and I used to maybe just be more reserved, and now I'm just not.
Yeah.
And my parents would say the same thing. They're like, yeah, like, you know, just kind of, you're just kind of like a little different in that way. I think, and otherwise I'm very same as I've like always been, like kind of, I don't know, just the way that I am, just a guy, like I'm just a guy, you know? And,
where'd you go to school?
So born and raised in Austin.
No, yeah. Where'd you go to college?
Is oh, that? I went to Goucher College in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, wow.
So that's, yeah.
I hate Baltimore.
You do? Yeah.
I do.
I mean, I think...
I do. I like D.C. and Georgetown and
yeah.
all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Alexandria. But.
Oh, yeah. D.C. is great. It was very random. Yeah, it was very random.
We openly don't like Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know why.
My stance on Baltimore is kind of funny because, like, I mean, I lived there for 4 years.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, I would come home for, like, winter and summer breaks and stuff.
Sure.
And be in Austin. But I liked where I went to school. It was kind of like very secluded. It was like in Baltimore City proper.
Yeah.
And, like there's a big like highway that goes around, the whole entire, it's called like 695. And then it kind of connects with like I-95, uh-huh. like continuing up the East Coast. And, yeah, my college was like right on this major, major highway,
yeah.
but it was like a huge, like 400 acre park,
oh, really?
Basically with a huge forest around it, like very secluded.
Wow.
Super old school, with
very
like,
northeastern,
very yeah. very much, and it was like only 1200 undergrad.
Oh,
so
wow.
super small.
What were you going there for?
So I actually played lacrosse in high school and college, so it's like very stereotypical like white dude just like playing lacrosse, but I was like always really into is like kind of my thing. And I used to do musical theater and like played cello when I was a kid and all that stuff and was involved at Zachary Scott theater. And then my parents, I was the oldest kid. And so my little siblings, I have three little siblings, you know, as they're kind of figuring out what they wanted to do, my parents were like, all right, we can only drive you to so many things. So you have to pick, like, do you want to play sports or do you want to keep doing theater? And as I mean, I wish I didn't have to like pick. And this is probably in like middle school and they sort of sat me down and talked to me about this, and I just said, all right, I'll do sports, because I felt like I could probably use that to get into college. Like that's kind of how
really
far I was looking ahead, I guess.
I would have thought like theater because there would have been girls there.
Yeah,
that's what
maybe.
I would have been
so
into.
I honestly, they probably talked to me about it so early I didn't even think about the girl aspect of it. But yeah, so I picked lacrosse, and I was an all-state lacrosse player in high school, and got recruited, went to this small school in Baltimore, because I had some friends that had gone there and they really liked it, and it was like a weird quirky school, and that's what was like attracted to me about yeah. it. And I went there, and it was definitely weird, and it was definitely quirky.
Yeah.
And it was also great because it was mandatory study abroad. So normally, like, so you have to study abroad to graduate.
For a year?
So you can do, like, a two-month program or, like, a six-month program, okay. like, anywhere in that range. And that was the other cool thing about it to me. I was like, okay, cool. I don't really want to do this, but, like, if I'm forced to do it, like, I know it'll probably be good for me somehow. I'm also going from Austin, Texas, having lived here my whole life, to going to Baltimore. It's, like, a pretty stark difference. And I don't know anybody at the school. Like, so it was kind of just like one of those big first like life-changing things where I was like, all right, cool, I'm just gonna put myself completely out there, which I have like a trend of doing this now. I've like as I look back, it's like, okay, I keep doing the same thing, and it's kind of always rewarding. It actually is always rewarding. But yeah, that's how I ended up there.
Wait, where did you go abroad?
Oh, I went to Australia. And lived in Australia.
There's nowhere like, didn't want to go to France or something that didn't take like 6 days to get to?
So, no, I'm actually interviewing an
Australian band tonight because they're 16 hours ahead.
Oh, wow.
And so it'll be eight here and like noon there or something. Sorry, go ahead.
That time change is wild. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, it's really wild.
So that's where I learned how to play guitar, was in Australia.
Okay.
So I had never played guitar. Like I said, I played cello as a kid, like not as a kid, but in like middle school, they make you play an instrument. So
what did you think you were going to be like before you picked up a guitar and wanted to be you?
Yeah.
That I know now.
I had done some like internships and stuff. I mean, I just thought I was going to be like just a working professional or something like that.
Just like a guy with a professional guy, maybe get a business degree.
Yeah,
and do business.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I got my degrees in economics, I was very into like those sorts of things. And I was
like, what sorts of things? Like, what?
I was into like history. I mean, I still like history, and I like econ, and I like the idea of those things. And it's very random. But like, I have always been like super, super obsessed with music.
Okay.
And like as a kid, I kind of thought I would be a backup singer. Like as like, I remember this, like all through my childhood, I would sing in the car.
That's such an odd specific thing.
I just thought I sort of knew myself well enough to be like, I think I'd be good at this. Cause like I had like the same sort of soft voice, and I was like, I could sing harmony, and like, I think someone would probably hire me, and like, I think I would probably be good at that. So that was like something that I thought would be cool. And then I didn't really, and I wanted to be an architect. And then went ahead and started, you know, focusing a lot on sports. And I mean, I was pretty good at that. And I was like, but there's no money to be made in like
lacrosse, you know,
those things. Yeah, I never made a dollar.
Like, I don't understand that. Yeah, I don't know. Is there professional lacrosse?
There is, but it's not anything that I really like. You know, I just wasn't really. And I also, the reason why I started playing guitar was because I started to get hurt a lot in college. Like I tore like my groin in college. I tore my ACL twice. I tore my PCL, which is like a weird ligament, and my other knee. So like all these things were kind of like adding up. So it was kind of like, all right, like, you know, this lacrosse thing is quickly fading, you know, as I'm like, I'm 20 years old, I'm living in Australia. I'm like, I love music. I kind of am realizing I don't really give a shit about school or like as much as I thought I would care about it.
And that happened in Australia. Like you got to Australia. And
Well, it was great because I didn't have to do anything. We had no commitments. We just showed up, and it was me and my two best friends, and we went to University of Wollongong in Wollongong, Australia. I'm sure your Aussie band will know what it is. It's like an Aboriginal word, Wollongong, but it's in like this beautiful part of like New South Wales. It's very cool. And so the inception or the beginning of that was the guitar thing was that the dorm they were living in had like an area where you could like rent out like board games, ping pong paddles, like weird stupid stuff like that you would see at a dorm, you know?
Right.
And I had seen like a guitar back there, and so I just went up to the counter and I was like, hey, like, can I check out that guitar? And they're like, yeah, no one's like ever really asked for it. You can just take it. And whenever you want to bring it back, bring it back. Well, I took it and I just didn't bring it back until like the very end of the semester. And then once I actually gave it back, like a kid that had seen me like playing a lot, you know, I just kind of handed it to him and I was like, all right, yeah, go and learn if you want to. But yeah, I just started learning there. So it's pretty interesting. It was very random. My friends were very confused that I was there with. They were like,
what were you into? Like listening to music?
Oh,
what were you,
man.
Like, hey.
At that point, it's cool because like on Spotify, you can sort of see like what your most listened to songs were like by year. And
Yeah,
so it's nice like looking back and stuff. Yeah, I was into like, I mean, I just knew like every word to every Beatles song. I was like that sort of like Beatles fan.
Sure.
And I knew all the ways that those songs went. Mm-hmm. So I just started learning those right away. But then I think the first few songs I learned were like old country songs, which I'm not very country. That's kind of like part of my bit when I do gigs is I talk about how I wish I was more country than I really am. But I think one of the first songs I did was like Hank Williams and, you know, into like Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings. Like I really started to get into like old country that summer that I went off to Australia. But I knew all these classic rock songs because of the radio being in Austin and like, if I was on my best behavior, exactly. But if I was on my good behavior, like or whatever, as a kid, my dad would let me listen to 103.5 Bob FM. You know, it's like all the hits from all the different eras, and then, but there's a lot of classic rock stuff. And then I'm laughing at the puppy eating the horn or hoof.
Eat the hoof there, because you don't eat it against the table. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, I knew all these songs like in my head, I guess, you know, well enough to, and I'd always had like pretty good rhythm and stuff. So like these things were working for me, like in the guitar learning process.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, just beating on this old classical guitar. And then, you know, all these years later, however long it's been, so I'm 27 now, I learned when I was 20, so yeah, 7 years later, I'm playing a ton of shows by myself mostly. You know, these singer-songwriter gigs that we do. And yeah, it's turned into something like that's been totally life-changing to me versus like that moment was like, I was like, oh, this could be cool. Like, and I really like felt passionate about learning and I just didn't know what it was going to turn into. I had no intention of going and playing gigs when I first started learning. I just didn't even cross my mind.
When did that, you came back to Bethesda, or not Bethesda, back to Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore. And
I mean, like, I don't even think of Baltimore. Like, I think of a fucking suburb of it.
Yeah, it's invisible. That's actually funny. No, it's an interesting place. I never meet any. I see people that have like Baltimore sports hats and stuff on, and like, but I don't think I've ever met anybody from like really from Baltimore and Austin. It's very, but there's a lot of Texans that are there randomly. I'd always run into Texans in Maryland, but yeah, when I came back to Baltimore, just like kept playing, kept learning. At this point, like 2 years into playing guitar, like people remember, you know, you start to feel some things at that point. You're sort of figuring it out. But yeah, my friends were all like, this is cool. Like he didn't know how to play it. And then, you know, so my other friends at the time, like they kind of were like, oh, teach me how to learn. Teach me. Yeah. And then, you know how that goes. It's like, oh, it's hard. Like, never mind. I don't really want to do that. It's pretty simple. Once people realize that it's not that easy, they're like, all right, that's it for me. But yeah, that's basically what happened at school. And then once I came home for good and finished the whole school, and I finished school. That was like a big, I wanted to finish, like get all that done. Like just, you know, my parents like were really nice to have me go and like, they just helped me out a whole lot. So I just had to finish school. I wanted to do as good as I can. I had a lot of friends that were at this school in Maryland and people that I like really cared about and still I care about. And so you know, finished all that, came home, and basically started working on like recording and working on
yourself, like working on
recording your, myself, by yourself. Yeah, and then starting to do every open mic. So like in 2018, I just did every, like literally I had like my calendar and like every single one was just on there, and every week I would just go and go and go. Did them at Pooties, at what's it called? They do like punk rock. I'm sure you've been there. It's like a coffee shop. Descent Records did their South by Southwest thing there.
Kick Butt Coffee.
Kick Butt Coffee's open
I've
mic.
Been there. You know what? I've never, I don't know. I've been there for a show, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there for comedy shows.
Okay, or, yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
It would be good for comedy.
Yeah, it's a good place.
It's a cool, it's a pretty cool spot. Yeah. So there, Cactus Cafe's open mic. That one's tricky because like so many people, I don't know how it is now, but people, a lot of people used to show up to that one. And
dude, that one's been going on since like the 80s.
There's so many.
Monday
and
night,
they
right?
have to pick out like only 25 people.
Right.
Yeah, Monday nights.
Yeah,
25
Monday nights.
People.
Yeah.
So yeah, one time, so I'm doing all these open mics. And so then the beginning of like me really gigging is it starts at Cactus Cafe because I didn't get picked one night and I was there with my uncle and he plays guitar and music as well, but he didn't get picked either. So then we went and we just kind of like jammed like in one of like the corridors of Texas, of University of Texas.
Yeah.
And then he took me to Hole in the Wall and, Ben Bollinger.
He was just
playing
on the show.
Oh, really?
Ago,
I saw that. So he was playing at Hole in the Wall.
Yeah.
And it was like really quiet. Everyone was sitting down. And I mean, I am a fan of his.
Yeah.
I really like him.
He's
a lot.
Great.
He doesn't really know who I am, but I was there watching him. And then, like, you know, I think he was like smoking a cigarette outside after. And I was just like, hey, like, that was really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, just. Yeah. Nice job, like great job, really. And it was a good show for him. Like everyone was sitting down. It was like everyone was very much paying attention to him. Monday night, it's like raining outside. It's like October or something like that. Kind of like how it is now. And it was just very chill. And I was like to my uncle, I was like, I would really want it. This is the type of thing that I would like to do. Like this is the set, like right there on that front stage at Hole in the Wall. That would be the best possible thing that could happen. So I just went back the next day and I brought my guitar with me, went back in the Hole in the Wall. Like I didn't have a gig or anything. I just brought my guitar with me and just showed up just cause I was like, fuck it. Like I'll just show up and you know, what's the worst that can happen.
Yeah.
And so sit down, start talking to the bartender. And then Ben comes in and like sits down like next to me. I'm like, hey man, like I was here for your show last night. Like I'm that guy. And he's like, oh, cool. So then we start talking about like Bob Dylan and like just, you know, musician like stuff, you know, things that musicians might talk about while drinking a beer.
Yeah.
And then we're talking to the bartender and she's like, oh shit. Like my show for tomorrow canceled. Ben, can you do it? And he was like, oh no, I can't. And I was like, well, I could do it. And she's like, oh really? Like, you know, what's your name? Like
you
have music? And I'm like, yeah, here's like my music.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She just put my phone up to her ear and she's like, cool, it sounds good. Yeah. 6:30 or 8:30 tomorrow, like Hole in the Wall, you know, front stage. And I'm like,
and
great.
You're out of, then you got a gig.
I got a gig
with a time slot, not a,
with a time slot.
Draw your name out of a hat.
Yeah, like it's an official thing.
Yeah.
So then that sort of kicked off. From that point on, I played at the Hole in the Wall. Their happy hour set. I had my own little spot, like every single week. Sometimes every other week, depending on like other scheduling. But consistently, at least every other week for. Literally until COVID, until March of 2020.
So were you there like Ethan was doing his thing there? Ethan Azarian and Jeff Johnston with the Saw?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, they weren't doing their thing?
Well, I would always play on Saturday. And it would always
like
be like Saturday at like 6. Like this is not like it wasn't prime time Hole in the Wall because it also is like the Dragon, like, there's a lot of like Texas football games going on Saturdays and but it's just like a lot of different things that I would see.
Were you able to get something going there though?
Oh yeah. It was
like
great.
People would come back on.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing.
Oh my God. It was that was like the first thing that was like, like it gave me a ton of momentum because I could always tell people like, hey, like you can come see me.
Yeah.
You can come see me. And sometimes they'd put me later, early. It was like in the range of like 5 PM to like 8 PM. I would be playing for an hour. And yeah, I kind of like just came into my own, cut my teeth doing that. And I mean, I got so much better like doing, like if someone had seen me, I mean, they saw me there at Hole in the Wall. Lynn, Cowles, she was the one that, I don't know if you know her, but she's amazing. And, I haven't seen her in forever. I haven't played at the Hole in the Wall since March 2020. You know, things have like really evolved since then for me. And I also am not like the most hole in the wall. I'm just not, I'm a singer songwriter, but like, I am really, so, and my music, for anybody like that has never heard my music, I mean, I try to be like really upbeat and like really, I try to be more poppy than I really am because I want to keep it upbeat and like keep it fun at my shows and stuff. But I really, at my core, I'm just like a chill singer songwriter.
When you say chill singer songwriter, are you saying like a bummer guy or just chill?
No, just chill. Okay, and I'm really not a bummer. And that's what I mean by like the pop thing too. Like my songs and stuff.
What is the name of that song? I didn't write it down. What dipshit.
Waited to Say? Is that the one I sent? Or?
No. I'm talking about the record.
Oh, Tonight like, and Myself?
Yeah, there's a song on there where the girl's kind of moved on and you've moved on and that made me feel terrible. She's seeing somebody or something.
In Time.
I was mad at you.
That one's
In Time.
Yeah,
In Time. I was very mad at you about that.
Yeah, that's
going
the second
song. Like that, and I'm like, oh, so she is seeing someone now. Rule Thomas.
Yeah, that's the second song that I ever wrote. I wrote that when I was in Baltimore. And
hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
You're able to hurt a dude in his 50s. Feelings with that song.
Yeah, that's a good breakup song. It'll make you feel something.
I was mad at you.
But my songs, I'm not a mopey songwriter at all. It's just like personal writing and like so it's not exactly like, and I also would just be solo acoustic, like, and I still really am like that.
Right.
You know, at Hole in the Wall, a lot of times, like, there'll be like a big, really like loud that. Band, or there'll be like, you know, something that's just a little bit more heavy, and I'm kind of just not exactly like that. But, like, literally, like, I just wouldn't be any musician, anywhere close to the musician I am today without the Hole in the Wall, and like how that whole experience
went. That's great to hear.
And then I had a band like later on in that experience of those shows going on and that like more than two year span. Then like my band started playing in that time slot and that started helping a lot. And I started to get booked in other places.
Oh wait, so then you had a band?
I did. I had a little band.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You know who else would probably say the same thing about the Hole in the Wall?
Mm.
Britt Daniel from Spoon.
Mm.
You know Spoon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
He would say that very same fucking thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I venture to bet. I would say that same thing. Maybe not as deeply as it was for you, but I had some, I've had some, you know, those rooms that aren't supposed to sound good. That room is not supposed to sound good.
No,
it's just not.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to have transcendent.
The walls are falling apart.
Yeah. And the PA is I think you just plug into a thing and you get like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. You're
there. We go.
Sometimes the monitors are, it's all over the place, man.
Same with the Continental Gallery.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to sound good. Same kind of PA. It's just a couple speakers and a thing like from 1978, like you plug in it. Oh, I don't know if it's going to work. And then it does, but you have like these, both of those rooms have magic in them.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And like the window's right there, so someone can see that like something's going on in there. Yeah. So, that was like, it was just good.
So what was your band?
So I had a band and it was called Lost Souvenirs. And so this is my project with, it was me and my uncle who was my bassist in that band.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be like Rule Thomas or whatever. That's all fallen apart at this point, like completely.
Yeah.
So COVID kind of killed that band basically. Cause like,
that must have been nice for those people that wanted to break up their band, but then COVID came and they didn't really even have to do the dirty work.
They're just
like, let's go do some other stuff now. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And it was just the solo thing. I mean, still to this day, and it's funny because I, you know, played sports and I'm like I was a team player. I was a captain of my team. I was good at like rallying the troops and like getting there, like those sorts of things. And now in this phase, I still am really collaborative with some of my friends and recording and, you know, having work with Frenchie and Kenneth. And,
I want to get into that.
Yeah. And I've got, me and, Lee Wall, he's, from the band Luna, 90s, rock band.
Oh, yeah.
From New York City.
Oh yeah. How do you know that guy?
So, Frenchie introduced us, okay. And he's like my main collaborator now.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, he's like a really fucking cool and super, like he just has done really good things in music. I mean, he's a real, real professional musician, which is like really cool. And he's kind of like my friend, but like, he really is kind of like my mentor a little bit. I get to ask him questions, but he's my friend. Really.
That's important to have, man. Isn't it?
It is.
Mentorship. Those guys that guide you through.
Oh yeah.
This thing.
Yeah, just telling you that, like, hey, you're not doing like the wrong thing. That's kind of what I.
That's important
need to
too.
Hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, when you're, you know, like, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Like having like it's like a little bit like a guardian angel, like, and you don't have to like. It's just nice. It's like a really underrated nice thing to have a good friend like that.
Let me ask you this, going up to like, okay, going up to March of 2020, what'd you do? Did you do the 14th? Did you do Saturday the 14th? Did you play that day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's the last day that you played.
Oh, yeah. We played that day, and then that Wednesday, everything hit the fan.
Yeah, my last gig was the 13th of Friday.
Mm.
But there's hardly anyone there because of the thing.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And everyone's like, do we shake hands?
My friends, like only my friends had come to that gig because they were like, okay, we understand like what's going on. But no, besides that, it was...
Sure.
Oh, it was a very wild, wacky thing.
And then would you do live streams and shit after that? Or what'd you do for that?
I did like a lot of YouTube, like a lot of like Instagram videos where I'm just like propping my phone, like playing a song in my house, like unplugging the fridge, like I was saying, and just like kind of doing things like that for however long that went on. And then... I remember I got booked at Geraldine's Hannah Hager. She's she's not the booker at Geraldine's anymore, but she's still involved with the hotel.
It's Sweet Emily.
It's Emily, Emily Miller. Yeah. She's really, really cool.
Yeah, she's a good person.
She's really cool. And so Hannah was like, it was like June of 2020. It was like when things were getting better, like, or it was like in May when things were getting better, and they wanted to do like a show, like at Geraldine's.
Oh, really?
And I literally was on, and she wanted to play with me, Hannah Hager, like, she's a
phenomenal
really,
songwriter.
Really great.
Phenomenal.
Amazing.
Phenomenal.
Amazing voice.
Yes.
And great songwriting and just really cool. I was literally on my way to her like a house or apartment. We were going to like rehearse to do like a little solo or duo acoustic thing.
Right, right.
And I had never played with her. And I literally started to feel like shit in my car.
Had it?
I had it. Uh-huh. And I thank God I turned my car around, went and took my temperature and called her. And I'm like, hey, like, this is not like, you know how people cancel and you're like, yeah, whatever. Like,
no,
you're sick.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
No, like, this is insane. But like, I just started to feel so sick on the way to your house. Like, and she's like, no way. Turns out I had it and whatever, you know, like a lot of people. But that was like early on. I think I was like the first person. I didn't know anybody that had had it.
Right. Yeah.
Besides myself.
Right.
That was like the first thing. But yeah,
it's funny. I knew a bunch of people that were like had gone to Europe in February or end of February, beginning of March. And almost everyone I knew that came back from there was like, I don't know if I had it, but I had something weird.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody has any idea. It's still like, it's weird. But,
so when did you start recording this record with Frenchie? How did you meet Frenchie? What happened?
I met Frenchie through that first band that I mentioned, that Lost Souvenirs band.
Oh, wait, did he do a record with you guys?
Yeah, we did. We cut two singles in like
a
day.
When did you do that? With Einar, was Einar there?
Einar was present, but okay, he didn't
that's
play
how I know
anything.
This. I
yeah.
know this band. That's yeah. how it was like end of 2019, beginning of 2020.
It was actually, oh my God. 2018. Like literally my timetable is so thrown off. Like it's so fucked up.
Well, I work with the Austin Music Foundation and we do the artist development program there. And I feel
and
like
I think
it was around. A&R,
was like, hey, this might be a good opportunity. And then that band like just didn't really work out and stuff.
Okay.
Not saying that he was like going to have us or anything like, but it was like a little bit of a conversation, like a short conversation. And Kenneth was Frenchie's assistant at the time.
Yeah.
And that's why I met Kenneth.
Okay.
And it was funny because like, I don't know, I probably talked to Kenneth more during those sessions than I did like my own band and stuff. Cause I never met Kenneth. He's obviously like a really cool guy. Yeah. And like,
there's not many guys you meet in like leather pants. And
no,
like,
I'm like immediately you just yellow. Visually yeah. can tell this guy is like really cool and different and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, him and I kind of like hit it off. And then, fast forward like 6-9 months ish. Frenchie and I started doing the solo record, the one that just recently came out. So that record had been sitting around for a while, and kind of like we recorded like 5 songs at first, Frenchie and I did, and that was going to be an EP. And then later on, we recorded the rest of it. And that whole album was fully funded by me going and playing solo shows and stuff. So that's like cool. It was basically me gigging like turned into me being able to go and record. Yeah. It was like very, you know, that's just how it goes. I mean, I'm sure that there's a ton of people that can relate with that.
I call that the real Kickstarter.
For sure. Like you're going and like, yeah. And
go out and play some fucking 4-hour shows at some winery in the middle of nowhere.
Totally.
The cold. Totally. No one cares.
Totally. And
you're singing Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. I went through your covers list.
Singing all the, I mean, I sing the covers that like have influenced me, and that's I mean, I love Paul Simon.
The private shows, you get a lot of private stuff? Like, are you on some, who does that for you? Are you on some different sites or anything?
Yeah, I'm on a few different, I do a lot of private gigs. Something like that? But I also am just a little bit of a talker, so I just talk to people, and like, they see me at shows, and then I give them my card, and so it's a lot of things like that. Like, this past weekend, a couple private things, and
cool.
Yeah, just and very. I mean,
that shit pays too, man.
Those private gigs are where it's at.
Yes,
for sure. And also, it's just good because normally they'll turn into another one and turn into another one.
Exactly right.
Because then they see you and they're like,
if you do it right,
totally. I mean that. I would say the thing that I'm best at is showing up and like executing. You know, everything leading up to that, it's kind of like
scary.
I'm getting better at it all the time. Yeah, but no, I've always been good at like if I get there and like you know, I can just put on the show, and I'm pretty good at reading people. I think I've always been pretty good at that. So I mean, it's just me when I'm doing these things.
Yeah.
So if it was me in a band, it would be more troublesome for me to like have to be mixing everybody and like putting on the show. But it's just me, and I know what my guitar is supposed to sound like and what my voice should sound like, and
I mean
how a lot of singers songwriters probably feel too. I probably relate to that. Just
I'm in a cover band that does a lot of private stuff like that.
Heck yeah.
I personally wouldn't want to be alone. Like some of those gigs are so weird that you're just glad you're with your friends.
Yeah. Some of them are crazy, man. Yeah, I did a private gig 2 weeks. No, yeah, 2 weekends ago, and this nice couple, I never even had met them. They had Venmo tipped me, put their phone number in the tip, and just said, "Hey, we're interested in hiring you." So I just texted this person and started talking, and they booked me, and you know, I did my making sure that they're like official enough to like show up at a place and that sort of thing, like standard process.
They're not gonna invite you, like you're gonna get there, they're gonna be naked.
Yeah, like making sure that like,
we
okay,
bring you into our
like
love
I will be paid like at least like to be here, and like, you know, this is like a birthday party or something. But I show up and like it's just the nicest, sweetest family ever. And like the grandma, it was her 72nd birthday or something.
Yeah.
Grandma had dementia. We're in this backyard. And, you know, dementia's hard. Like, it's just tough. But, like, I could connect with her enough to be like, you know, do you know Elvis? Do you know this? Yeah. Do you know that? And I just started, do you know Johnny Cash? You know, yeah. playing her these songs.
Yeah.
And like 5 minutes later, like she's dancing and oh. like she's coming up to me and she's like, I'm going to hire you. I'm going to hire you. I'm like, you're good. Like, let me just keep playing new music. And, but yeah, that's like, you know, that's like a standard private gig for me almost. It's just like a night, some nice people and I'm just playing the music. And
yeah,
that's what I really, I love playing music, but I just really like connecting with people and like making somebody's like maybe hour, like not making their whole day or anything, but just making their hour a little bit better.
Just taking them out of the grind of fucking life. Like yeah. that's part of part of our job is just like.
Totally. It's just a little distraction.
Yeah.
Just like how TV is a distraction. I have my TV on way too much and it's just like a little, but it's a way better version of that. And
yeah,
it's like good, clean fun.
Yeah.
And it's distracting for me too, to go and play for people. And, but yeah, a lot of private gigs and a lot of like, you know, just where would you find a singer songwriter? Like, and you probably go there enough
you
times
do the airport I'll show and shit up. Like that?
I've never done the airport. I've been offered to do it, but it's always been like a weird time. And, I just haven't done it. I do a lot of restaurants. And I sing my original stuff at these places too, uh-huh. just so people know. So if you ever see me like promoting
a little show,
I'll do a lot of my original content, and people won't really be able to realize.
That's what I was gonna say.
They won't know
your stuff is accessible enough.
Totally.
That you don't know if maybe he is doing a song by another guy because you're a fucking great songwriter. You're a great singer too. I don't know.
Thank you.
I'm gonna ask Frenchie because we're very good friends. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like you're not a lot of takes guy. You don't seem like you have to be auto-tuned or anything. You have just like a really natural, pleasant, lovely voice to listen to.
I appreciate it. That was the biggest thing of COVID was me getting better at singing. And I just sang a lot. Like in my house, I just sang a ton. And I just got better recording myself and hearing myself and stuff. And yeah, I don't think I was a very good singer for a while, and then somehow I like sort of just started to get better. And the singing on the album is like the next stuff that you'll hear that's coming out for me.
When is that coming out?
So probably
this
in
just
the
came
next,
out, right?
It did, but I'm probably gonna release like September? Five more songs in the next 3 to 6 months.
Do you do them with Frenchie as well?
These are with Lee from Luna.
Oh, cool.
Lee Wall.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's kind of turned into something where I didn't really think he does. Yeah,
okay, cool.
He does. And that wasn't really the intention. So he played, we have a little trio band now. That's uh-huh. just Rule Thomas. And I show up and it's me, Lee Wall, and then Colton Forrest Hardy, who's my bassist. Really, he should probably be like my lead guitarist or something. He's super, super good at lead guitar. And I sold him a bass on Facebook Marketplace. This is how I met this friend of mine. And like,
and he didn't murder you.
He didn't. We met at the Trader Joe's parking lot. And like, just like I'm talking to you now, by the way, like I've never met you until today. Like, this is how I just like to talk to people. I'm just, you know, talking and just, you know, just, I enjoy this. But yeah, that's how I was talking to this guy in the Trader Joe's parking lot. And he was like, I think I said it. I was like, it'd be cool if we played in a band together. Like, this bass would look cool with the, you know, this guitar. And we traded these guitars for each other and stuff. And yeah, so that turned into something cool. But yeah, probably five more songs in the next. It's kind of up to Jeff Grounds.
Also, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Then how did you end up hooking up with him and getting this on Descent Records?
Frenchie is my, like, he's just the man.
I don't know
why he likes me so much, but he's been helping me out a lot.
He's a good person, man. I like him a lot.
He is. I think he thinks that I'm like a little different and that's why you know, he introduced me to Lee. And he didn't really even introduce me to Lee. He had sent one of my songs to Lee and was like, "Hey, just check this out." And I think he does this with a lot of people.
Sure.
And Lee liked it enough to be like, if you guys record more songs, I want to come and play drums.
Awesome.
So Lee's playing drums on a few of the songs on the album,
cool.
Which is super cool. just so people know, like, he, Lee Wall, he's just Luna. Just look up Luna.
Yeah.
And they're a really great band, and
90s,
90s rock band.
Yeah.
And, like right when I met him, they played 310 two nights in a row,
uh-huh.
and there it was like sold out. And then I was like, this guy's amazing. Like, this band is great. I was on like a huge kick of theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just very like 90s amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super, super yeah. good. Great, great group.
One of Frenchie's 90s bros.
Yeah, and then they were on tour together back in the day. Yeah. So, like, Lee deluxe. Saw the wild Frenchie of the 90s.
I know. I've known Frenchie for 31 years.
That's incredible.
I know.
We
worked at Whole Foods together. That's where we met. Yeah.
That is
we're just buddies.
Wow, I would have loved to be at Whole Foods with you guys. That would probably be pretty fun.
I had really long hair. Yeah, I got, but this time of year, I spend a lot of time over there and working on these Austin Music Foundation things. I was just in there last week doing a thing with this guy, Poet Hawkins. He's really good.
So I met him for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
So I played Mozart's yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he plays there all the time.
Yeah, he played before me, and then it was like,
it's great,
so,
right?
So I literally didn't even hear him play. I just showed up and he was already starting to break his stuff down, and we were all helping him.
Yeah.
Robert and Jennifer, what's their last name? They're in like a duo too.
I don't know.
We were all just kind of conversing, and I never met him.
He's a great guy, man.
Yeah, he was awesome. He's really songwriter. Cool.
Awesome.
But it was so cold. I kind of felt bad for him, and it was like really, really cold outside at Mozart's yesterday. But it was all good, and yeah, it was cool to meet him. But yeah, with Jeff Grounds, got introduced to Jeff by Frenchie, and I guess it's kind of like Lee. Jeff liked my that song, Waited to Say.
Uh-huh. Great song.
And thank you. And the whole idea, it's like I listened to it again today, is it's really sparse and stuff, and that was like the goal of that. Of that song was for it to be like very open, which Frenchie, I mean, he's good at his job.
Yeah, I really loved, when I saw it was him that did it, then I went back and listened to it again, and I was like, all right, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and I'm sure that he was pleased to get somebody like you that's of the quality that you are, that's different than most stuff that he does, you know?
Yeah, and I think I challenged him a little bit to be like, let's just like keep it real simple.
Yeah.
Like, he produced the song, but we definitely like co-produced it in the way that everything was on the table.
Yeah.
And if anything, we just took stuff out at the end, like in the final mix.
Sure.
And a lot of that was just me like, no, we don't need that. We don't need that.
Right.
Take out the guitar there. Just put the bass on the second verse, you know, keep it real, real simple.
Did I hear the white Mellotron on Come My Way?
Oh, yeah. That thing is all over.
That's what I always end up playing on those things. That
so
and, like, congas.
I think
he
had just gotten that, like, when we had first started recording.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And Kenneth, on this album, any keyboard you hear or, like, any sound that is not a guitar or a drum or a bass is Kenneth playing that. And he spent a ton of time, like,
did a beautiful job.
Out. Oh, I mean, he's just the man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have paid him more for what he did. I mean, he's just a great,
And
I'm a huge Cuckoos fan. Like, they're like,
me too.
He is like my favorite Austin band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like, can't really tell him that because he's like, you know, thanks. Like, I don't know what else to do with that information, but
I'm a huge Shooks guy too. I think they're like one of the coolest bands in town for sure.
Oh, I know. I tell Marlon, I'm like, I mean, yeah. Shooks are awesome. Yes, and Marlon was there when we did the album, and then that's how Kenneth started playing those shows at Continental.
Okay,
because Marlon came over to the studio and he was like, "Frenchie, does your band want to play?" And Frenchie's like, "I don't think that's gonna work out." And Kenneth was there, and Kenneth's like, "I could play." And then that sort of was a cool little thing that was going on, but.
Dude, Kenneth played late.
Oh, really late?
Yeah, he's playing.
It was like
that fucking late slot.
And and he is doing his solo thing. Now he's got the band, and I've just been booked every single time that they've been playing. But
so he's back with the band. It's not just him with the thing. I did a show with him last year.
It is going to be a band, yeah. Okay, good. They're like in full force. And
not that it's not cool with just him, but it's just he's doing a bunch of stuff, and I want him to focus on me and the audience.
I mean, totally. He's great.
Yeah.
And I think that's why him and I connected right away was like we were both doing that solo thing, and I was doing my little kick drum.
Right. Thing. That's really cool that you do that.
Thanks. Yeah, it was just sort of something that I was like. I mean, I like Shaky Graves a lot.
Yeah.
Like I went and saw him and was like really really close one time.
Yeah.
At Cactus Cafe, and he talked about Hole in the Wall, and him and I talked afterwards, and I was like, that was my situation sort of as well. Yeah. Blah blah. And I was like. I'll just make one, you know, I'll just make a drum, and then if I ever play it, and that turned into me playing it all the time.
I have one like that's a suitcase. Yeah. Can you see that back
there?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what mine's a little old Samsonite suitcase, but I put a Guitar Center used snare drum inside of it.
Oh, cool.
And like totally configured it and everything. Like it's pretty similar to how Shaky Great Alejandro's drum is. I think that's why Kenneth and I connected, because he was doing the solo thing, and like that just takes, especially if you have some band experience
at all,
like it's just a different,
yeah,
it's very lonely and like,
very lonely.
And I like still play off that with the crowd a little bit, like, all right, I'm lonely up here, like you guys want to clap along or do something, and that can be sort of fun, but Kenneth, he's just a really good dude. Yeah. I love
Kenneth. Love him too. Rule, man, it's been great talking to you, man. People can find you at rulemusic.com. You got shows. You'll be playing places. Are you doing any band shows in the next month or so?
This
will be out in a few
weeks.
My
next band show is at Geraldine's. Let me see my calendar. It's late December.
Oh, great.
It is December 28th at Geraldine's. From 8 to 9:30 p.m.
All right.
And that should be pretty fun. And it's a trio. That's the band format. Lee Wall on drums, Colton Forrest Hardy on bass.
What time
did
you say? 8 to 10?
8 to 9:30. Yep. And it'll be pretty much the whole record, and then some of the new stuff what we're working on. Which will be, I'm excited for you to hear it. It'll be pretty different because it's not Frenchy. So in that way, it just sounds completely different. But Lee's got a really cool studio in his house, and he does a lot of music for commercials and movies and TV shows and stuff.
Cool.
And so that's kind of like his realm. But he also used to do like mixes for Luna for the band, and there's like remixes that are like Lee Wall mixes that are on Spotify and all that stuff. And
I check those out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, new music, lots of shows. I'm at Irene's every Sunday night. That's the show that I'll plug here. That's like a consistent solo show.
What time is that?
That is from 6:30 to 8:30.
And where is Irene's?
That is on, it's right off of West 6th Street. I can't remember like what the North-South Street is. Let's see.
Where did you say it was?
West 6th Street.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's kind of like I don't know, like they have really good drinks. I started like trying to play there forever ago because their food was so good and they have like a record player and stuff. And I was like, they need to have live music. And I bugged the hell out of them for the longest time. And then finally they broke like a year ago. So that's been like a very long-term residency.
Cool, man.
There.
Should come out and see you play.
Yeah, you should.
Can it's I bring on Rosie West to Irene's? No.
Definitely.
I can?
Yeah, there's pups that are there.
Oh, good. Rosie, we're doing a Sunday thing.
West Avenue and West 6th.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's down the street from my cousins. Maybe she'll come meet me down there.
Yeah, it's a good spot. I'll get you some drinks and some food.
All right.
They got good food. Really good food.
Rule, this has been great talking to you, man.
It's good to meet you.
Thanks so much for reaching out.
Thank you so much for having
me. Yeah.
Really, thank you.
Everyone get out there and check out this record. It is Tonight and Myself, the debut record from Rule Thomas. New music coming in the next few months. And congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
That's Rule Thomas. You can find him at rulemusic.com. His newest album, Tonight and Myself, produced by my dear friend Frenchie Smith and out on Descent Records. Available now wherever it is you stream and download music. You can see him on December 28th at Geraldine's. He'll be playing from 8 to 9:30. You can see him Sundays at Irene's from 6:30 to 8:30. Rule Thomas, thank you for coming to the house. Love talking to you. What a great guy. What a great guy. Very nice cat. Nice chap. Hey, gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out rulemusic.com, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. We put out new shows every Tuesday and every Friday. And this month, we are dropping shows on Saturday nights. They are from the vault where we reach back into our vault of over 1,200 episodes. Pull it out, shine it up, and play it. We release it for you just in case you never heard it or you want to hear it again. Lots and lots of great ones. We just had David Garza, we had Adrian Quesada from Black Pumas, and just this last weekend, Kenny Withrow from Edie Brickell and New Bohemians. So get out there and check it out. Gang, this is more music from Rule Thomas from his album Tonight and Myself out on Descent Records. Go to rulemusic.com for all of your Rule Thomas needs. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.